Thank you, Anil. We want to turn to the word of the Lord this morning. So Jocelyn is going to be sitting over here and giving, doing translation in Tonghua. If anybody else needs it, hop over there, but I think you're okay. Okay? Amen. So you all know that I've been in the U.S. from the beginning of February, and I arrived Sunday afternoon, last Sunday afternoon, but it would have been disruptive for me to come into the service. I'm sorry, is English okay? Oh, B, would you go back and just check? Yeah, just check and see. Sorry, pause, just check. Yeah, okay. Okay, great, just wanted to make sure, thank you. So thank you for praying for me while I was gone. It was so tough. I don't know how tough it would have been had you not been praying, but the Lord helped. I told Mom, it was only last night. Since I got back, I've actually, every single night, I was still dreaming about having to pack up the house, because it was so intense while I was there, except for last night, that I had a good night's sleep. So the day before I came back to Hong Kong, I had been praying, and I knew that you were praying for me. And the Lord spoke something to me, and as he spoke to me, he also, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart for an encouragement. And as he spoke to me, he made it very clear that this was a message for us this morning. Very, very simple message. And so we're going to look this morning, we're going to talk about forgetful and fruitful. This is a very specific message, very limited. I have 8 pages of notes and scriptures, but we're only going to look at one thing, and in the time ahead, we can easily look at some other things, but we are going to look this morning at the life of Joseph, a figure who's very familiar to us as we consider his life story. In the Old Testament, especially in Genesis, after Abraham, the father of faith, Joseph receives more attention, more space, than any other character in the book of Genesis. In the Old Testament, in fact, the three, most people would acknowledge, the three greatest figures in the Old Testament are Abraham, David, and Joseph, these three. If you look further at the life of Joseph, most Bible scholars, almost all Bible scholars, are agreed that Joseph is a type, an example of Jesus later. So there's much that we can learn from his life. His life is full of lessons, life lessons for us. But we're going to look at just at one very specific part this morning. And in a way, this is a follow-up from that first message when we looked at joy through trials. And if you'll remember this, consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. That's our New Testament. Scripture, theology, we see it in the Old Testament in the life of Joseph. You don't see so much theology, but we see it in his life. We see it by what happens to him. We see it by how he responds. And so this morning, as we look at the life of Joseph, I believe this message is for us. And I want to encourage you, if in your life you have gone through unfair treatment, if you have been wronged, if you have been hurt, if people have mistreated you, if circumstances have been difficult for you, and it was beyond your control, though you wanted to change it, you could not change it. Though you wanted to escape, you could not escape. Though we're not perfect, but though the other side or the other party or parties were greatly in the wrong, you could not do something to make it right. Or you are going through that now. Something has happened to you, or you're going through it now. Does that describe you this morning or your past? Raise your hand. Everybody, wave your hand. This describes everyone. We look at Joseph, and Joseph is such a big example, and we think, my life is not like Joseph's life, right? His life is so different. You know, he was this, and he became second in Egypt. But I want to remind you that the examples we're given in the Word of God are big things, big examples, but they reflect in our lives also. Our examples, what we go through, may be much smaller, on a much smaller scale. Nevertheless, God's Word says everything in the Old Testament was included for our good, for our training. So we're going to look this morning at the life of Joseph. The key passage will be in Genesis 41, and you're not going to think it's the key passage, but it is. This is a key passage to the life of Joseph, and it's going to be a key passage for you and for me as well. So here's a framework for us, and then we're going to get to our key passage. For the framework, I want you to think about the bad things that happened to Joseph. Let's try to do it chronologically, okay? So think for just a minute. I know this is easy peasy for you because you know this story so well. What are the early things that happened to Joseph that showed the devil was at work in his life, okay? And I want to put it this way. There's the devil at work in the life of Joseph, and God is at work in the life of Joseph, right? This is true for you this morning. There's no difference between how things are working in your life and in the life of Joseph. The enemy is always against you. God is always for you, right? Amen. Amen. So in Joseph's life, let's look first at the negative. I didn't even copy scriptures here because I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. We know very well. So you tell me, what are some of the bad things that showed the enemy was at work to mess up Joseph's life and to destroy him? Anybody?
Threatened with death and being thrown into a pit.
Okay, so threatened with death, his brothers were going to kill him. In fact, if you look at it in Genesis, before that, in the very beginning, his brothers, he tells the dream, and the Bible says his brothers hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Have you ever been around somebody that cannot speak a kind word to you? Have you felt that before? Mm-hmm. Probably most of us have. Well, you're in good company. You're in the company of Joseph, okay? And then they hate him further. They see him. He goes off. They see him in the distance, and they plot, we're going to kill him, right? And they throw him into a pit, and then they decide, we won't kill him not because of Joseph, but because of us, right? They didn't want his blood on their hands. So what's the next thing that happens to Joseph? That's part of the devil's plan and the devil's work in his life. What's the next thing? Somebody? Okay. He's sold into slavery and taken to Egypt by Midianite traders, who, by the way, would have been his cousins in some way because of the descendants of Abraham, right? So he is chosen. The Bible says very little. To me, it's interesting when we look at this, when we read the story of Joseph in the beginning, the horrible things that happened to him, it says very little about what Joseph is going through, right? But later on, when his brothers are talking about it, do you remember what the brothers say about what Joseph was doing during that time? It says that Joseph was pleading and crying out to his brothers, and they sold him anyhow. Horrible, horrible thing, okay? So there's the horrible treatment by his brothers. What's the next big thing that we see that the enemy is trying to do in Joseph's life? Next one is what? Okay, so Potiphar's wife, who tries to seduce him, he stands firm, and he says, no, I can't do that. I have to answer to God. It's not even Potiphar, how could I do that? It's like, I must respond to God. Here's a great lesson for us, brothers and sisters, because we are all tempted in various ways at times, aren't we? We all are. And Joseph talks about Potiphar, but Joseph's main strength is a God. How can I do this? I'm God. And that helps each one of us. So there's the false accusation. She tries to tempt him, to seduce him. And then when he refuses, she accuses him of attempted rape. And then Joseph is thrown into prison. How long does Joseph stay in prison as an innocent man? As an innocent teenager, as far as we know. Okay? When we meet Joseph, he's 17 years old. He stays in prison about 13 years, right? Can you think of anything else that happens to Joseph which is part of the enemy's plan for his life? Right near the end.
He's ignored by the royal servants.
Okay, he's ignored and forgotten by the chief cupbearer, one of the Pharaoh's servants. Joseph helped him in prison. He didn't have to, but he interpreted the dream, and then he said, when you are released, remember me to Pharaoh. And to me, it's so telling. It says in chapter 40, verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Okay? Now, some of you are going to say, yeah, but God was working. I agree with you. God was working. But what I want us to see is the enemy was working also, right? And we know that God's going to be doing something. We know that God has a plan. So here's the enemy at work, but God is also at work, right? Now, think with me of the good things that God did for Joseph in his difficulty. And these we're going to look at, okay? Ready? Here we go. Genesis 39, 2 through 4. And I want you to see 2 through 4. I want you to see this theme over and over and over. What does it say? The Lord was with Joseph. That's what you'll see again and again and again. The Lord was with Joseph, so he prospered or succeeded. Okay, if you can look at your Bibles, if you've got your Bible translations with you, you will see prosper or succeed, and it's used interchangeably throughout this passage, and it means the same thing. It means literally to push forward, to move ahead. And so as God is with Joseph, he moves Joseph ahead. You and I get frustrated in our lives, right? In school, in work, in this and that. It's common to try to push ahead, right? It's common to, we want to be noticed. We want to be favored. We want to be honored. Your favor, your honor comes through the Lord. The Lord is with you. When the Lord is with you, he does these things. You don't have to do these things. You honor the Lord, and the Lord will honor you, right? The Lord, that was a very weak amen, but that is true nevertheless. It really is. It's true nevertheless. So what do we see? He succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized, look at this. Here's a great part. He realized that the Lord was with Joseph. You see, when God is at work in your life, not only does he honor you and prosper you and give you his favor. Remember what Jesus said? This is the year of the Lord's favor. Brothers and sisters, this is not the year of the fire horse. This is the year of the Lord's favor for you this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's true. And I want you to see this. Here is an ungodly man, Potiphar. He sees what's going on in Joseph's life, and he sees God is with him. So not only is Joseph honored, God is honored as well, right? Perfect. This is what God is doing in Joseph's life. Listen. This is what God wants to do in your life as well. Many of you here this morning are domestic helpers who work in someone else's home. Not always easy, right?
Yes.
But almost all of us also work in somebody else's company or this or that or whatever. A few of us are our own bosses. I want you to see something here this morning. Wherever you work, when you honor the Lord brings favor to you. And I want you to see the spread of influence. The Lord brings favor and blessing in your situation. In your situation. That is God's plan. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this is an Old Testament picture before Jesus came, but it gives us a picture of what God wants to do, right? In every situation. So Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with him, giving him success or helping him prosper in everything he did. It pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. So here we see, although the enemy has been at work, he's a slave, He is now being, we see God at work as well. Okay, what happens next? Verse 5. From the day that Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Brothers and sisters, please look at this morning. You may feel you are a nobody. You may feel that you are a victim. You may feel that you are in a situation where you are powerless. Everything is, you are told what to do. You have no rights. You're all of these things. I want you to see something different this morning from the Word of God. You are not powerless. You are not a victim. You are a channel of the Lord's blessing as you honor Him in your life. You stand for the Lord, and God will bless you, and God will bless through you. I hope you get that this morning. Wherever you are, if you're working in somebody else's home, if you're working in a company, if you're in a classroom, if you're in a family where you're the only Christian, where there are other ungodly influences around you, any of these things, you are a channel of God's blessing. You shine God's light. You represent God. That's what Joseph did. Amen? And he was a slave. He's worse off than you are, okay? He's worse off than you are. And Potiphar is blessed also because God desires to bless people. Amen. So that's number one. Then false accusation comes. But what does it say? Here's our theme again. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. If you look at the life of Joseph, and it talks about the Lord being with Joseph, you will see that in Joseph's lowest point, in prison, it not only says the Lord was with Joseph, it says the Lord showed him his faithful love. If you are at your lowest this morning and you feel like I am down here, the Lord wants to show you his faithful love. Your circumstances cannot stop God's love poured into your heart. The prison bars cannot stop God's faithful love from being shown to you. The hatred and the unkindnesses of the people around you cannot stop God's faithful love from being poured into your life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
A little pitiful, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm receiving a blessing this morning. And so what happens again? We see the same thing in the prison that we saw in Potiphar's house. The warden puts Joseph in charge of everything. He doesn't worry. The Lord was, look at the end, the Lord was with him and caused everything he did to prosper. Joseph is not a one-off. Joseph is not a character different from you. Joseph is an example for you this morning. Amen? Y'all are pitiful. You partied too hard during Chinese New Year. That's what you ate too much hot pot and you go. That's what you did. Nevertheless, this is true. God wants to honor you and favor you, and God wants to bring blessing around you for his glory. He wants to bring people to himself. Okay, then we come to the third point. So he has been brought out of prison, and he has interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh says, can we find anyone else like this man who obviously is filled with the Spirit of God? And so Pharaoh says, okay, God has revealed this meaning. Clearly, you're the man for the job. You will be in charge. Only I will be higher than you. And then he says, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. So here we have this picture. On one hand, the devil, the enemy, is at work in Joseph's life. Very clearly, God is at work in Joseph's life. These two are constants in our lives. Do you see that? These are constants. The enemy is always opposed to you. God is always for you. Amen. What is the variable? What is the variable? You are the variable. You're the variable. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? How are you going to react when these things of the enemy come in to your life and knock you off kilter and unfairnesses happen to you? I know all of us have gone through tough things and unfair things. All of us have. I don't know if any of us have gone through what Joseph went through. Probably not. Not to that extent. But the variable is, it's us, right? So the enemy's always going to be at work. And if in our lives we're always saying, oh, the enemy this, the enemy this, the enemy this, we are going to miss God, who is there with us and is also at work. And we are the variable. And that's why we're looking at the life of Joseph this morning. So let's look at what happens next. There's a change, an overnight change of fortune. When we met Joseph in Genesis 37, he is 17 years old, younger than everybody here in this room. So he's 17. Here, Joseph is 30 years old. So it looks like it happened instantly, but it took 13 years, right? Roughly, 12 or 13 years it took for there to be changes. And that's why we're connecting this with February 1, Joy Through Trials, because we have need of endurance and perseverance, right, as we go through these trials. Because God is doing something. The enemy's doing something, too. The enemy's doing something, but God is at work. And so things change almost instantly. We're getting ready to get to our theme verse this morning, but I want us to see the change of fortune because it's very meaningful for us. We didn't read it, but we know that when Joseph was 17, he was his father's favorite, right? By the way, parents, do not allow favoritism for a child over another child in your heart or in your family. That is one of the most destructive things that can happen in any family. It really is. Nevertheless, that's how Jacob was. And we remember that Joseph received what? Kind of like what I'm wearing this morning, right? He received a coat of? A rainbow coat, or a coat of many colors, right? The brothers tear it off. Later he's in prison. And if you read in Genesis 41, Pharaoh calls him out of prison. And he first has to change clothes, right? And he has to shave, and he has to get clean. You can imagine what he smelled like and what he looked like and how he was dressed in prison, right? Okay, now look at what God does. Not Pharaoh, but God uses Pharaoh. Pharaoh, look at it in your Bibles. Pharaoh gives him fine linen, okay? He gives him fine linen. When God begins to restore things in your life. Listen carefully. When God begins to reverse things in your life that the enemy has tried to destroy, what God does may look different than how it used to be. Okay? It's still God. But if you are looking for and waiting for, it used to be like this, and I want it like this again, you may be disappointed. Because God does things very often. He does things differently. So he's given new clothing, beautiful clothing from Pharaoh, the finest linen. It's not a coat of many colors, but he's given clothing, right? Joseph lost that. What is the second thing that Joseph lost in the beginning? He lost his status in the family, right? He was the favored son. What does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh says, I put you in charge of all of the land of Egypt. He's made number two by Pharaoh. So what does God do? He restores a status and a position, but it's different from before. What's the third thing that Pharaoh does? It's actually God. We know that, right? But God uses people, okay? What's the third thing? Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. Okay, we'll come back to that. You're going to wonder about, I'll tell you about that in just a minute. And what else does he do? He gives him a wife, Asenath. Okay? Now I want you to think about that. I know that sounds a little funny, but that's okay. It's a God name, okay? And so what happens in that moment? Joseph, and we know that he has two sons, right? A little bit later. What does God do? The family that Joseph lost 17 years earlier, God gives a new family, right? Do you see that? God gives a new family. Brothers and sisters, stop looking back. for what was. Stop looking back for it used to be like that. I want it to be like that. God may do that, but most of the time, God does something new and different in your life as he defeats the work and the plans of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let God do it. Okay, so he gives him a new name, Zephaniah. How many of you would like that name? Nobody, right? The interpretation is really difficult. Pharaoh gives it, but we don't know. Bible scholars, the Bible scholars say it's very difficult to interpret. We don't know if the foundation of the name is Egyptian or Hebrew or Coptic. It could be any one of these three, but any of the translations are great. Ready? If it's Egyptian, then it means God speaks and lives, or bread of life, okay? If it's Hebrew foundation, his name means revealer of secrets. If it's Coptic, how about that, right? Yeah. God doesn't do anything by chance. If it is a Coptic foundation, it means savior of the world. How about that? That's why we see, we know that, among other things, that Joseph is a picture of Jesus for us, right, as we see a little bit later. So then he's given a wife as well. And we look at this and we think, ooh, I don't know if I want that wife or not. Her father is a priest in the Egyptian religion and blah, 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 and whatever. But as we're going to see, Joseph was the godly influence in his family when we look at how he names his sons. If you are a Christian and God lives in you, it does not matter the ungodly influence around you. It doesn't matter what is around you. You represent the Lord, and his life in you is the one that shines and overcomes. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. You ready for the key passage? You say, yeah, we've been ready. Okay. The key passage is Genesis 41, verses 50 through 52. Three verses. You say, that's the key passage of the life of Joseph? I'm pretty sure it is. And this is where we come this morning. So look with me at it. Okay, look with me at this. Before the year, so remember, there are going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, right? And Joseph is the, I'm not going at all that. You know all of that. Now, here we go. Key passage. Ready? Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim, and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Or your translation may say the land of my affliction, or the land of my pain, okay? Suffering, affliction, pain, all of these. Okay, brothers and sisters, here's the theme. Here's the key point of Joseph's life, and here is the message. If you don't get anything else, get this morning in Joseph's life. This is God's plan and pattern for you in difficult times, in injustices in your life. Whether you are looking back at what has been done to you that was wrong, that was unfair, you couldn't stop it from happening. It may have happened to you when you were a child. It may have come through your parents. It may have come through your family. It may have come through something at school or even your colleagues in some way. It may have come from people that you thought would speak kindly and lovingly to you, and they did not. They spoke unkindly and harshly, and you have carried those things in your life, or you've tried to get them, but they still press in on you. They still weigh your heart down. They still influence your life. We learn from Joseph this morning. Here is God's secret for us. Here is God's plan for us. You and I seldom can stop the bad things that happen to us. We seldom can. Truly, we seldom can. What we can control is how we will respond. What we can control with God's help is how we will let those things that happen to us influence our heart, change our lives, change our attitudes towards people, towards God, towards situations. This is the secret for us this morning. Last Thursday, when God spoke this to me, I had moved all the boxes. I'd gotten help on Wednesday, and these two big, really, really big guys had moved everything. And it was still, it was really hard, because there are things I haven't shared with most of you about the situation. It was tough. It wasn't just the physical moving things. Anyhow, it's a lot of things. When I woke up in the morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, Manasseh and Ephraim. And I knew I knew this passage very well, and I've taught on it before in times past. But I saw again and was reminded again, here's God's plan for you and for me, right? Right? Now, some of you are doing okay with this. I suspect a lot of us still struggle in this area. Let's look at this very briefly as we round things up this morning. Here is the hinge. Here's the key to Joseph's life and to your life also. He names his firstborn what? Manasseh. Why does he name his firstborn Manasseh? Because we're named for all sorts of different reasons, right? Sometimes your parents saw a movie and they liked the character, right? And you were named for a movie character, right? It's true. That happens. If you're Chinese, often you have a much more meaningful name, right? You tend to have meaningful names when you're Chinese. Or you were your name was chosen a Bible name in some way, or because it had a special meaning or something like that. So Joseph chooses the name Manasseh because of the significance of what God has done in his life. Why does he name him Manasseh? What does he say? It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Does this mean that Joseph, poof, you know that movie Total Recall? Sorry, kind of an icky movie, but anyhow, where his brain gets wiped, you know, and he doesn't remember, and then it starts coming back in flashes here and there, but boom, you know, it's been like it's been totally erased. Is this what it means, that God just wipes your brain and you don't remember things anymore? Of course not. Of course not. Joseph still remembers things, but what he says is, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The word trouble, the word forget means to forget or to remove or to neglect. Some of us are so tied up with the things that have happened to us or that happened in our family, we can't neglect it. It keeps coming back to us. It keeps affecting us. We keep on dwelling on it. We still keep seeing ourselves as victims. And what the enemy did to you sometimes years ago, it is still an open doorway into your heart and in your thoughts, and he keeps on wounding you and binding you even now. And God wants to set you free from that. God wants you to forget that, to neglect it, to stop giving the enemy that power over your life, that pain into your heart where you keep thinking about, I was mistreated, this was done to me, they did this and they did that. And Joseph, the key is, he says, God has made me forget. And we already know that God never does anything in our lives against our will or against our choice, right? So you're going to have to work with God. This morning, if you're dealing with pain in your heart and life from things that have happened to you, God is here. God is waiting. And God says, let me make you forget the trouble of your past. Let me. Will you let me? And if you will, God will begin to work. It's usually a process. It usually doesn't happen overnight. It may try to come back and you say, nope, I forget that. I let it go. And he said, Manasseh, God has made me forget all my trouble. And here where it says, all my father's household, this does not mean he forgot his father and his brothers. What it means is God has made me forget the loss of my father's household. There are things that are done actively to us. There are things that we have lost. I was struggling with that in the U.S. because Mom and I, in this process, lost a lot. A lot. So unfair. I was so upset. I was so angry. I was so angry. I wanted vengeance. God, get them. You know, I really did. I've lost this. Mom and I, we've lost this. We've lost this. Then God spoke Manasseh and Ephraim to me. And he will help us forget the loss. You and I will lose things through what the enemy has done because he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is with you, and he's come to give you abundant life. And what God will give you, if you will let him, is more than what the enemy has chosen. Amen?
Amen.
It's more than what the enemy has chosen. Now, he has another son. And who's the second son? The second son is Ephraim. And why does he name him Ephraim? It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. In the land of my suffering. Now, on the surface, this is part of it, because God works on the surface and the physical part. Here he is. He's happy because he has a family. He has sons, right? He's been given two sons. That's great. And actually, the name Ephraim in Hebrew, it sounds like fruitful, or actually it means literally doubly fruitful, because they're two sons, right? So they're two sons. So that's part of it. But oh, brothers and sisters, if we stop at he gets two sons and see he's fruitful, we miss the main truth of Joseph's life. God is making Joseph fruitful in ways that are so far beyond two sons that are born to him. We know it because what happens? There's still the fruitfulness that comes as he stores up grain. In fact, there's so much grain, look at verse 49, that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. And then, here's the other part of fruitfulness. When he talks with his brothers, what does he say? God, verse 7, God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Look at the fruitfulness of Joseph's life. And then beyond that, look at the fruit in Joseph himself. He doesn't have a bitter heart. I don't know if I could go through this without a bitter heart. Could you go through this without a bitter heart? It'd be tough, wouldn't it, Crystal? It'd be really tough. It's a good thing we have God to help us, right? And we know that he's not bitter because you know what? If you read Joseph's life, you will count eight times where tender-hearted Joseph, in relation to his brothers and his family, after they're restored, he's weeping over them. He's crying. He's weeping. That is not describing somebody who has a bitter heart at the unfairness and the wrong that has been done to him. It's describing someone who, when the enemy came in with plans for destruction, instead looked at God, who had plans to bring fruitfulness out of his life, to help him forget and to make him fruitful. Now, ready to close? Yeah. Final question. Which son comes first? Manasseh. What is Manasseh? Forgetting. All right, that's the title, right? Forgetting and fruitful. Manasseh comes first. Who comes second? Ephraim. What does Ephraim mean?
Fruitful.
Brothers and sisters, before you and I can be fruitful in God, we're going to have to forget. If I can't forget, if my heart is full of bitterness and injustice and victimhood, I can't let it go. I'm always talking about they did this and they did that. If I can't let God help me forget, will not be fruitful. I will not be fruitful. You will not be fruitful. God's plan for you is to help you forget and to make you fruitful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You cannot do it by yourself. But God will not do it by himself. But God will work with you, and you will do it together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Joseph ends with, oh, now here's one of the other keys. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. The enemy will direct harm. God always intends for good. And if you're on God's side, if you're on God's side, guess what? God will always win. But you're the one who decides that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Time to close. There's much more we could say here, but what about retribution? Well, what about vengeance? Well, what about making things right? We'll look at that another time. This morning, we're just looking at us, right? Forgetful and fruitful. So I'm going to pray for you right now, and as I pray for you, you're going to pray for yourself and your own heart, right? And you're going to ask God to help you be forgetful. Yeah? Forgetful. So that you can be fruitful in your life. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for our brother Joseph, whom we know we will meet one day in heaven. We thank you for his example, that he persevered, and you helped him forget, and you made him fruitful. And not only was he saved, but Lord, through him, you made him so fruitful in the lives of many. And through him came our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God, would you help us this morning? Any one of us, whether it is something of our past that we have not been able to forget, or we are going through it now and it is so hard, God, would you make us forget the trouble of our past? And Lord, even if we are now going through this land of affliction, you can make us fruitful here in our land of affliction. Would you do it? And God, help us to keep on holding on to you until this is seen in our lives and until we experience the forgetfulness that you bring and the fruitfulness that you also bring from our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Please, don't forget this, the One Campaign. Please, are you Chinese?